one spring break way back long ago when I was in college. I met a friend at the Rothko Chapel in Houston. Now, I had never heard of it or had never been there, but when I found it in a quiet neighborhood surrounded by towering oak trees which cast their shade like a canopy strung over the museum district, seemingly scoffing at those who see no beauty in the concrete and glass of that big city. My friend was very excited to share this special place with me, having grown up in a small town like me. So we made our way from our respective hometowns to see this marvel. Now, this was life pre-Google, so I had no idea what to expect. As I entered into the quiet and cool octagonal chapel, I was confronted with a room having filtered light and whose walls were covered with enormous dark canvases, 14 in all. My friend was immediately transported while I was trying to figure out what these black canvases meant, what kind of story they were trying to tell. Now, not wanting to look like the small town bumpkin that I was, I think I mustered up a few appropriate comments about the place. It was a beautiful building, a peaceful place of respite from the ever-present traffic in bustling Houston. Years later, when I moved and made my home in Houston, I would occasionally stop by the Rothko Chapel when in the neighborhood of the museum district with time to kill. I continued to sit down on one of the benches and tried to figure out the story these dark, forbidding works of modern art were trying to tell. It was an ongoing exercise for me when time would allow. Recently, I came across a quote from the artist, Mark Rothko, a response of his to a question about what his paintings meant. Rothko said, "A painting is not a picture of an experience. It is an experience. A painting is not a picture of an experience. It is an experience." During my various vigils in the Rothko Chapel, I had been looking for a story rather than experiencing these paintings in this liminal space. As we do every Palm Sunday, we just heard the central story of our faith as followers of Jesus Christ. The Passion narrative walks us through the last days of Jesus' life. This 2,000-year-old story begins with the institution of the Holy Communion, the shared symbolic meal of which we recall each Sunday throughout the year in our Eucharist. This story includes the betrayal by a friend, the agony of Gethsemane, and the abandonment by everyone, including close friends. The sham trial, the physical and psychological torment of scourging and crucifixion. The story ends today with death and the declaration of Jesus being God's Son. We know the trajectory of this story shifts dramatically in a week at Easter. But today, the story ends with death. My question for you to ponder is, what does this passion narrative mean to you? Is it a story of an historical, albeit salvific, event that happened almost 2,000 years ago? Yes? Yes, indeed it is. But it is also a story which we can live, which we can experience throughout our lives. This This is a spiritual experience, what the church calls the Paschal mystery, and requires that we need only to pay attention and prayerfully engage in our lives to be able to engage in this mystery. On one level, we live this Paschal movement each year during Holy Week. The church comes together on Maundy Thursday each year for the recollection of our call to wash the feet of one another and to remember Jesus in the broken and given bread and poured out wine. This is my body, this is my blood. We gather on Good Friday to remember that through the life, suffering, and death of Jesus, God's central motivation is love, self-giving and sacrificial love on the cross. By participating in these Holy Week services, we not only recollect this narrative of Jesus' suffering and death on our behalf, but we can begin to recognize this movement being reflected in our own lives. This is what the Paschal mystery is, this rhythm seen throughout nature, including human lives, of suffering, dying, and new life. A rhythm that has been sanctified through Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. Yes, this is the pattern we will engage in at the end of our earthly lives. Our physical bodies will become diseased or deteriorate. Eventually, we will die and we will rise to new life, eternal life, with God. But this pattern is also seen throughout our lives when we struggle and die to some old way of living, some dream for our life, some relationship, some belief that no longer has meaning. These spiritual deaths can always lead to new life, to resurrection and transformation if we seek to see them in this way, if we seek to experience God's grace and movement in our lives. Dying and letting go must happen to receive new life and new spirit, to receive new direction, new beginnings. As Jesus taught, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. A grain of wheat must fall and die for a season to produce new life, new growth. And the seasons of the natural world also mirror this Paschal movement of living, suffering, dying, and rising to new life each year with summer, autumn, winter, and spring. This is the pattern of all nature and of our lives. If we embrace these daily sufferings and dyings and risings, these life challenges are then made sacred, sanctified, as we participate in this Paschal mystery, a movement made sacred by Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the dungeons of Caiaphas, the cross atop Golgotha, and shown forth through an empty tomb on Easter. A friend of mine has a spiritual practice she employs when she seems to be stuck in a rut. She reminds herself something has to die so that new life can begin. She then begins to examine her life anew, exploring whether there is some attitude or behavior of hers that is preventing her from moving into new life, a deeper life of Christ. Jesus' story was not just meant to be heard. It was meant to be lived. We can enter into this holy place each week all year, and even enter in this place this holy week. We can hear God's story and be informed of God's marvelous works. And then we can choose to to enter deeply into the life of Jesus, seeing its reflection in our own, and be transformed. Informed, transformed. How will you hear and experience this story this year?